Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, welcome back to hour number two of the show. We will have with us our post-game host, Alex Dono, and our pre-game co-host, Brian Monroe, with us. Also, Jalen Rivers joins us a little bit later on in the show. A couple of quick notes. Brooks Robinson, Hall of Fame, third baseman of the Baltimore Orioles, passed away at 86 years old. He was the third baseman of my childhood. The human vacuum cleaner, Brooks Robinson, passes away. And then tonight, in just a little bit, the complete ACC basketball schedule will be released. So by 8 o'clock or so, we'll have the Hurricanes basketball schedule will be released here tonight. Non-conference is out there, but now the ACC schedule will be released. Brian Monroe, Alex Donalis, fellas, how are you tonight?
Yeah, doing good, man. How you guys doing?
All right. Brian, appreciate you being with us, debuting on the Hurricane Hotline. Team's off to a 4-0 start. What has caught your eye about this year's squad so far?
I think the biggest thing on offense first is the offensive line play. I think we all knew that, you know, Coach Cristobal, that would be his baby and he'd get it fixed. Obviously, last year they had a ton of injuries. But this year you saw the guys he brought in being able to bring in 2 5-star guys and some of the top transfers was the biggest thing to me. And then on defense, honestly, I think it's one of the most basic things, and I think it's just tackling. The defensive guys looks like they're buying into the scheme. They love what Guidry's doing, letting them play free, letting them play fast. They're wrapping up. They're not missing a lot of tackles that we were the last couple of years, and it seems to be having fun in the back end.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's a good point. They are surrounding people. Alex, how about you?
Well, Joe, thanks for having me on again. First of all, it's great to be on with Brian as well. And obviously, he said a lot of good things about the offensive line. On the defense, I've been really impressed, guys, with how the next man up mentality has worked out with the defensive line, because you know they've had to have serious time these last couple of games without the likes of Branson Dean and Akeem Mezidor and Nigelie Kelly, and a guy like Reuben Bain has really stepped up. Jafari Harvey has been really good, and Leonard Taylor has been awesome these past two games. He graded out really highly against Temple. So I appreciate the fact that even with the defensive line depth being tested early, these guys have answered the call. And you know, going back to the offense, Tyler Van Dyke has been sensational. This offense fits him like a glove. He's got 11 touchdowns to one interception to start the year. He's on the type of pace that's going to get him in the Heisman conversation if he can keep playing this well. So there's been a lot to be happy about so far.
You know, I didn't know what we were going to get, what the University of Miami was going to get in the secondary this year. And so far it's held up pretty well. I'm actually very surprised at the consistency of Daryl Porter so far, because I thought he struggled last season. And then I wasn't sure what they were going to get from Jaden Davis. He's a real student in the game, 182 pounds, 5'10", but he has played hard, and he's the third or fourth leading tackler on the squad.
Yeah, you mentioned.
Yeah, and then the other part of that, guys, is, you know, not only Jaden Davis playing really well, you know, Miami had to play the Temple game without Cam Kitchens in the defensive backfield, which is obviously like taking the quarterback out of that defensive backfield. I like the way James has played so far this year. And on Jaden Davis, guys, I'm really impressed by the way he tackles, right? I mean, this goes back to what Brian mentioned about how well the defense overall has been tackling. Jaden Davis was the leading tackler in the last game, and I don't know if he's missed a tackle yet this year. He's been really sure about that.
Yeah, so much for our fans saying he's undersized. He's never played here, right?
Yeah. Yep.
But it's again, I think it's a testament to the defensive staff as far as, you know, letting them play free, understanding the defense, and then just playing football. Sometimes when you think too much, you just don't play football. And you see these guys. I mean, look at the Texas A&M game with Jaden Davis causing the forced fumble, coming up and stopping the run, third down, and everything else that he's been doing. You mentioned Daryl Porter Jr. You know, I honestly had Devontae Brown ahead of him in the spring, and it looked like everything from the spring to the summer that Devontae Brown would be the starter, and then here comes Daryl Porter Jr., and he hasn't flinched. And I think that's what Coach Cristobal's been trying to do, is create this competition in every single one of these rooms that if you flinch, somebody's going to take your job. And I think that's just up the level of play from so many parts of this room. I mean, you look at the running backs room. You look at the wide receivers room. Things that we talked about in the past of being a weak spot on this team is now being a strength. You know, you look at the running backs room, and you don't even want to take a carry off because you might not get your job back. And the first three guys in those receivers, as far as Kobe Young, Jacoby George, and Xavier Restrepo, they've been balling. So I'm excited to see that and see how the growth can continue the rest of the year.
You know, to pick up on that for a moment, Brian, a guy like Jaden Davis, I think what helps is, now I thought Devontae Brown would win one of those jobs. I think he's been pretty good. But what I do think it does is it helps Damari Brown, a freshman who doesn't have to step in and have the world on his shoulders. He can kind of play his game, improve. You know, he makes a mistake here or there. There are reinforcements around him. And Miami hasn't had that luxury in the past where they've had a guy in front. Too often, they've lost key players and they've depended on a freshman who then loses his confidence.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's exactly what Coach Cristobal wanted, you know, hitting the portal the way that he did, bringing in key guys, right? Because if you look at certain rooms, he brought in key guys that in the past we might have had a freshman play in that role that maybe didn't need to play in that role just yet, and then be able to get into the weight room, be able to get into the meeting room and stuff like that, get stronger, get faster, and understand the game. And, you know, some of the guys you can kind of look at when it comes to that is, you know, you look at almost – I would say a Riley Williams, even though right now he is starting to play a little bit more. You know, if we had an Elijah Royal here playing healthy, maybe Riley doesn't play as much, and you see him towards the end of the year as he's getting it down a little bit more and more. But, of course, Elijah got hurt. He had to play the first couple of games and doing well. But that's the type of guy that you say, like, oh, he could have just chilled for a couple more games and actually understand it just a little bit more and just, like, shock the world a little bit.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'm not sure if it's going to happen, but if Jahleel Skinner could get going, that certainly would help the tight ends. Don't you think, Alex? But so far, it's been in and out in a year and a half.
Yeah, and I'd love to see Skinner get going. I know that he was working on putting on some weight. I remember Shannon Dawson mentioning that right before the season started and after the first game, that he's just working on getting a little thicker. And Jahleel told me before the season that he's been working on his inline blocking, because it seems like being a dominant blocker is non-negotiable when it comes to playing, to getting on the field consistently at tight end. And, you know, Cam McCormick, well, what a find. You know, I know he could have potentially a ninth year next year if he decides to use it. Veteran of all veterans, one of the better pass blocking tight ends.
Imagine that.
One of the better blocking tight ends in the country. And that, so I love it. I mean, you know, Cam McCormick is, like, you know, old enough to be Riley Williams' uncle. And then the two of these guys are, you know, both getting playing time in the same tight end room. So I imagine that's someone Riley learns a lot from.
Monroe's going to ask for his eligibility back.
Hey, listen, I just saw the other day a kicker on Virginia that's 34 years old. Okay.
Wow.
First of all, shout out to him for, you know, serving our country. Appreciate that. But 34 years old? Hey, listen, only a couple years older. I might pull a hammy on the first one, but it'd be nice to get back to school.
Hey, but by the way, maybe you've already been asked this. You're our punting expert. What is the deal now with all the Australian punters? I think I saw the stat the other day. There are 65 Australian punters in college football. The kid that punted, I guess he's a kid, the guy that punted for Temple, Dante Atten, was pretty good, but in May of 2022, he was operating a forklift in Australia, and a year later, he's punting in the United States. What's going on with all that? Can't we find punters?
I mean, listen, if it's not broke, don't fix it, right? Is that the saying? You know, they see themselves as the opportunity in Australia to come to the United States, have an amazing opportunity to go to college, and maybe even play in the NFL and make some real good money for their family. So you can't turn that down. Obviously, I don't know what they make in Australia as far as an Aussie rules football, but I know they get paid pretty well over here, and you get an education, and you get an opportunity to, you know, better yourself in life and job-wise an opportunity. So I just think that when it comes down to it, the Aussies are taking over the punting game.
Well, that they have. Before we dive into what's coming up in October, we'll do that after the break. Let me ask you guys about this one. Brian, you can pick up on it first. Corey Flagg, you know, one of those guys that you're always going to try to replace because of his size. Here he is with 13 tackles, fourth leading tackler on the team, and probably not having to log as many plays has helped him, which in turn is helping this defense.
Yeah, I mean, listen, normally you look at guys like that and say, oh, they're bringing in guys, I'm going to quit, I'm going to go in the transfer portal, I'm going to go to a different team. Well, if you go to a different team, you're going to have a depth chart as well to work your way up. So I like the fight in Corey Flagg because I think he took a lot of flack from people from his play over the last couple of years. But bringing an experienced guy like a KJ Cloyd from Louisville that's seen a ton of ball, bringing in a freshman all-packed player in Kiko Maigoa, bringing a Wesley Pesaint that was a four-star bigger guy. Just, again, speaking of the competition in these rooms, one, it makes you, if you're not that type of guy that wants to stay after and watch this much more film or get in this many more reps, it makes you do that if you want to compete on teams like this. So I just think that, what you know, Corey doing what he's doing, I think it's just the competition that bought in the room, and he stepped up. He's bought into what this coaching staff is preaching.
Yeah, and I think in the case of Flagg, guys, he's just, I think because of his size, you know, he's the type of player that fans sometimes give some flack to, but every linebacker's coach and every defensive coordinator he's played under and the head coaches he's played under all have really liked Flagg because he's such a hard worker. He's such a student of the game, and he does work so hard. And I pick up on what Brian was saying about the depth. I think that all these linebackers have learned things from each other. You know, I remember talking with Flagg and KJ Cloyd and Kiko Maui-Noah during fall camp, and they were telling stories about how they were kind of sharing techniques with each other during practice. I'm sure that they all can learn something in the film room from Flagg, which he learned from his dad, and he's so diligent about that stuff. And so I think he's always been that type of player, and I've always appreciated what Flagg does these last few years, and I enjoy watching him because I know how hard he works and how hard he plays despite his size.
All right, we've got Alex Donald with us, Locked On Canes, and our post-game host on the QA on the Hurricanes Radio Network. We have Brian Monroe, who's our pregame co-host, former Hurricane. We'll come back. We'll talk about the month of October coming up. We'll get the crystal ball out when we come out. We'll get that, the crystal ball? All right. We'll do that when we continue in just a moment. Let me talk to you for a second about Williamson Buick GMC. And at Williamson Buick GMC, new Buicks from Williamson are arriving all the time, every single day. So are GMCs for that matter. So what this means for you is that Williamson Buick GMC is absolutely going to have the new Buick you're looking for, whether it's an Encore, an Envision, an Enclave, or more. And they're going to have the GMCs, the Canyons, the Acadias, the Terrains, or the Yukons, the Big Daddy, the Yukons. So get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle in a new GMC or Buick from Williamson Buick GMC. And nobody does customer service any better than Ed Williamson. Former Hurricane Jermaine Chambers is there. He does a great job. Jeff Rogers, the general manager, top shelf, outstanding, of course. There's Carol Williamson. She is the one who keeps them all in line. But Ed Williamson has been doing this year after year after year after year. You can experience the new Buick or GMC from your premier Buick dealership, Williamson Buick GMC, located on US 1 just south of the Palmetto. Williamson is Miami.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back on the show. Alex Zano, Brian Monroe with us. Jalen Rivers joins us a little bit later on. All right, fellas, one bye week coming up this weekend, and then it really gets real. Georgia Tech, 8 o'clock on October 7th, back-to-back with Carolina and Clemson. And then Virginia, who's been struggling. They'll round out the month of October. Brian, what do you think about the next four for Miami? How is it setting up for them? Because if you get by those four somehow, then you head into November, and it's a monster November.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing right now is that we have our bye. You know, coming into the year, you're like, damn, our bye is early, but it seems like we actually are nicked up on some key guys that this is the perfect time to have a bye. And you look at it, obviously, you got, you know, at the beginning of the year, you look at two of those games, North Carolina and Clemson, as two of the biggest games of the year besides FSU. And they're monsters, but, you know, we've watched both of those guys play already, and they've shown that they are beatable this year. So I think this team has the opportunity to beat them, but we can't beat ourselves, almost like we did in the Texas A&M game with mental mistakes. But I don't think Georgia Tech and Virginia are just going to be pushovers. Yes, nope. Virginia is struggling, but they're playing a freshman quarterback who's made some plays, and they've missed some kicks and some bad plays at the end. And then you look at Georgia Tech. You know, Haynes King was with Texas A&M last year. He's thrown for 1,100 yards right now, and he's got 11 touchdowns, just as much as Tyler Van Dyke. So I think that's going to be one where it's going to test our secondary. If you look at our weakness in our defense, it would be our pass defense. But they really can't stop the run at the moment, so I think that's where we can exploit them. But I think it's going to be a tough four games.
Yeah, Georgia Tech, they're not nearly as bad as they were last year. I don't think they've improved nearly as much as Miami has, but I'm totally with Brian, and I heard you, Joe, talking about it in the 6 o'clock hour. Georgia Tech's not going to be a pushover, and this is just a great opportunity for Miami going down this stretch. And, you know, I don't concern myself as much with, like, past results for some of these teams, because I know people will look at Clemson, for example, and say, oh, they're 0-2 in the ACC, they're 2-2, they're terrible. I mean, they really should have beaten Florida State. I mean, they were very good in that game, and good teams find ways to win, and that's what Florida State did, and they had that whole situation with their kicker that was costly for them as well in terms of Clemson. And, you know, obviously North Carolina, I think Miami, it looks on paper like a better team top to bottom. But I think both teams have special quarterbacks. Don't get me wrong. I love Tyler Van Dyke, but obviously Drake May is someone who's also capable of making magic happen. So it's not going to be easy. But I like the way the schedule breaks down. And, you know, before the season starts, it's hard to say, like, what's the perfect time to have a bye week. If you'd like to have it maybe a week or two later than you did or a week or two earlier. But I think just given the state of things, when you, you know, have some guys who have been banged up, Henry Parrish and Matt Lee just got a little banged up at the end of that Clemson game. And you've been, you know, wondering when Elijah Arroyo can debut. And, of course, Cam Kinchins is recovering from what happened to him at the end of the Texas A&M game, that, you know, I'm hoping that Miami can get some, if not all, of these guys back for the Georgia Tech game, and you get that extra week of preparation. So I like the way that it breaks down. It's a tough stretch of schedule coming up, and we're really going to find out what Miami's made of, because I'm very satisfied with what I've seen on the field so far, but it gets real starting in October, guys.
Yeah. This is going to be interesting also to see what happens inside the league. For example, next week, Syracuse plays North Carolina before Miami plays Carolina. No one's paying attention to Syracuse now. Their non-conference schedule was kind of absurd, but they're number one or two in offense and number one or two in defense. And their quarterback, Brian Garrett Schrader, is a good-looking player.
Yeah, he's a beast. I mean, what is he, 6'4", 6'5", can run. Obviously, they lost their big wide receiver, Gadsden. That hurts for them. But, you know, it's sneaky. You know, getting off to another 4-0 start, I think this is what, a couple years in a row, they've been 3-0 at the beginning of the year. North Carolina can't overlook that game before they get to us, because, what Babers is doing up there, it's unbelievable. So I'm eager to see that game. And then, you know, obviously we got two teams that we're not going to play this year, Duke and Notre Dame. I think is a huge game in the ACC coming up, because if Duke can go ahead and beat Notre Dame, they just solidify themselves as being a very, very good team this year by beating Clemson to start the season. And a Notre Dame team, again, we talk about kicking other stuff, should have beat Ohio State over the weekend.
Yeah. I said this in the first hour. You probably know this, but Notre Dame has not lost to an ACC opponent since they lost to Miami at Hard Rock Stadium.
That's crazy to think. Well, that's
that unbelievable.
They don't want to join the ACC.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, they have not lost to an ACC opponent since Miami beat them.
It's crazy. That was a butt whooping. So, what a fun night. Yeah.
Now, I guess maybe they don't include the they did play in the ACC championship game against Clemson, so maybe they don't include that. But maybe it's regular season games. So it's like 25 or 26 straight regular season games, but Notre Dame coughed that game up to Ohio State. I mentioned in the last hour, not only was it the 10 men on the field, but they had two or three fourth down stands with the ball inside their 10-yard line, one in the goal line in the first half and one late in the fourth quarter, and still couldn't knock out Ohio State.
Well, what about the DB at the end of the game that should have been a pick just to end the game and literally straight through his hands? I know that's awesome.
So now for the University of Miami, Brian, you know, you mentioned, I thought it was a good point, you mentioned they haven't been beating themselves, kind of got, you know, into that against Texas A&M, and then, you know, they were able to overcome it. But overall, one of the things this team has not done is have a lot of negative plays. I mentioned this to Don and Josh in the broadcast the other day. I don't know how many years you want to go back, but it's been year after year after year. It seems as if they played on a 130-yard field because of either penalties or sacks or negative plays. This year, they're dominating the time of possession, and they're having clean drives for the most part.
Yeah, and, you know, I think the biggest thing is you look at this team, right, 48-33, 48-7, and 41-7. This team hasn't played a complete game yet. I think we can nitpick on both sides of the ball to say this was sloppy, too many mistakes here, penalties, miscues in the Texas A&M game. So I'm eager to see once this team puts it together what this team looks like. And, you know, we also got to remember these are two new coordinators that are new to both sides of the ball, so it still takes some time to grasp everything. And I know we haven't seen anything from either of these coordinators once it comes to opening up their playbook, and I can expect to see some fireworks with that. But, yeah, you mentioned it. I mean, you look at this team from a year ago and some of the stuff that we were doing last year, from leading the country in penalties, leading the country in missed tackles, not being able to run the ball in short yardage. Those things have completely changed this year. And, again, this team is what, top 20 in total offense and total defense.
Yep.
Yeah, and, number eight in total offense.
And Tyler Van Dyke, Joe, has only been sacked four times so far this year, and he's got over 1,000 passing yards, 11 touchdowns, one interception. So, you know, the offensive line has taken care of TVD so far, and they've got the number seven scoring offense in the country right now. So and one of the things that really impresses me is, and again, I know obviously the competition is going to get consistently tougher from here on out, but you don't get the same anxiety in the red zone that you were getting last year, right? Miami would get in the red zone. You're like, okay, this is either going to be a field goal or something even worse is going to happen. They've been punching it in with touchdowns. And to what Brian was saying about, you know, the coordinators not even really fully opening things up yet, you know, you start to kind of get a taste of what might be coming with Shannon Dawson, because we start to see a guy like Ray Joseph just get a little bit more involved. And I have a feeling we might only be scratching the surface with a guy like that.
You know, I would say if there's one thing that they could add to their offense, and not taking anything away from Restrepo or Jacoby George, what they've done, and Colby Young, and the same would be said in the backfield. I'm just looking for one more guy that has that blazing speed, the one guy that can turn that quick pass or quick handoff into that 50-plus yard touchdown, somebody that can give you that touchdown when you are on your side of the 50-yard line. Maybe it's Ray Joseph. Maybe Washington develops. I don't know. But maybe it's not going to be this year. Maybe it's in recruiting down the road. But that one guy, I think, is maybe what they need in this offense.
Well, I like that you named Ray because that's one of the freshmen I was looking at, you know, too, because, you know, discussing him over the time, I tell people I don't think we've had a shifty player like that since probably Roscoe. And, you know, that tell you how long it's been that there's a guy that you know that the first guy's always going to miss. He's going to make the first guy always going to miss. So I was excited to see him get into Temple and sprinkle a bit more, but I'm also eager to see the kid, Tyler Harrell, kind of get into the game a little more. You saw him against Temple, get a couple more snaps, and it was a raining game and stuff like that, and he had the opportunity in the end zone the one time, but I'm eager to see those two, how they start to sprinkle them in a little bit more, because those two have the speed that we've been missing for years.
Yeah, I would like to, and Tyler Harrell is a guy that saw some of it in training camp. It might take, you know, one pass in a game or something like that to perhaps get his confidence up. But, you know, just one more little dash of speed, I think, is probably something the Canes could use. All right, so before we let you guys go, 4-0, we're all good right now. Got a big month coming up here in October. We're all looking forward to it. Brian, maybe one spot where you think they have to get a little bit better.
I think they have to get better in the pass defense. You know, I think watching a couple of games, I think we got exposed a little bit in the pass defense. And also, we have to be careful with the wheel route, with the running backs and the slot receiver. Because there's been a couple teams that have actually hit us with that. Texas A&M was able to connect on it. Bethune-Cookman had it wide open and missed on it. And that's something that I've noticed a couple of times. And I think, you know, obviously offensive coordinators are going to notice as well. And then I think, obviously, our secondary. You saw with, you know, Couch having two picks, but also going for another one and giving up a big gain. And then, I just think if we could clean up anything, those are the two things I've noticed.
Alex, what do you got coming up on Locked On Canes?
Oh, well, we're going to be talking a lot of recruiting throughout the week. It seems like it's going to be a pretty active bye week in terms of, you know, coaches visiting high schools and all that good stuff. And, yeah, we've been reflecting on a lot of numbers this week, Joe, looking through Miami's offensive rankings so far, seeing, you know, how high a guy like Xavier Restrepo ranks among receivers in the country. He's really blown up. And so we're going to be talking a lot of fun stuff during the bye week, some recruiting, some advanced stats and all that every single day, Locked On Canes. You can find the show, just search Locked On Canes on YouTube or Locked On Canes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever your favorite audio platform is. You can find us there.
All right, fellas, thank you. I'll see you at the stadium on October the 7th. Enjoy your bye week.
Appreciate it. Have a good rest of your show.
All right. Thanks, Brian, Joe. Take care. All right, Alex, thank you. Alex Dono with us from Locked On Canes. Brian Monroe, our pregame co-host. When we come back, the big man, left tackle Jalen Rivers, joins us next on the Hurricane Hotline. Here's Van Dyke on the ground. Parrish over the right side. He's at the 10, then the 5, then the end zone. Touchdown, Miami.
Henry Parrish over the right side for a 13-yard touchdown as he sashays into the end zone. 23-0 Miami.
Henry Parrish had as wide a lane as you could get to run through. That offensive front picked up the stunt, had a hat on a hat, and put your Hurricane running back into the end zone.
All right, the big guy, the big offensive line leading the way for Henry Parrish. And joining us right now is left tackle, the jovial Jalen Rivers is with us. Jalen, good evening. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. How about that running game the other day? 323 yards worth of rushing yardage, including a couple touchdowns. Tell us the key behind running the football the way you were able to run it the other day against Temple.
Just like you were saying, we always want guys hat on a hat. The biggest thing we want to do going into this game is just playing 5-on-5 football and just making sure we just keep mauling people and we play with just a style of play. Coach Mirabal, he always preaches about style of play, communication, and just urgency. And if we play that, we'll have a running game outcome like we did these past couple weeks, actually, these first 4 weeks.
Why has your offensive line played so well so quickly?
I mean, we made it our business when everybody started coming in, like during the spring and summer. We made it our business, and the coaches, you know, kept, you know, putting it out there. But we brought it amongst ourselves as players to really gel as an offensive line and as an offense and as a whole team in general. So this whole really off season, we've been really working towards that. So it's no surprise that we've been playing like this and gelling as you see out. I mean, watching the film, we've been, you know, performing, you know, all together, and we've been all in sync. So I think that just goes to show what we've been doing off season, all together, and just creating that bond.
Speaking of that bond, I think your offensive line is kind of a microcosm of the team. There is a unity that I think has come together quicker than maybe I anticipated. Why do you think your team has been unified? And you know, people can say, oh, okay, great, you know, if you get along off the field and all that. But when I mean unified, I mean being able to play complementary football and be in it on every play for each other, offense, defense, special teams.
I mean, we just simply just didn't want to repeat of last year. When we have the right guys in our program and we all come together, we've had player-led meetings, and we really communicate to one another and express how we don't want to repeat of last year and how this year is going to be different. And when we spoke about this in the spring and summer, you know, I mean, it's all coming to fruition right now. And we just got to keep going, and the sky's the limit right now. But I just think it goes to show we've been working on and working towards still. You know, it's always going to be better. And we can always play even more better complementary football. But I just think that's the biggest key, where we didn't want to lose. We didn't want to, you know, have another bad year.
Yeah. Well, what is it meant to have Right, yeah, no. What is it meant to have Javion Cohen next to you? He's like you. He's a big guy. He's gregarious, and he's got a bit of an attitude, a good one.
Oh, yes. And, you know, that's a lot of the guys on our O-line right now. But having him next to me, I mean, it's awesome. And then having a guy that with that much talent that's coming from a great program, actually, and, you know, he's a great guy, too, and a great, you know, person. And teammate, I couldn't ask for anybody, you know, better to play next to. So it's just great to have him on the team, play next to him, and get to see him every day. And, you know, we have a good bond as well.
I spoke to him the other day. He said, one, I want to bring the U back, and two, I want to make sure that Tyler Van Dyke is always upright. Very few sacks for Tyler. Why has your pass protection been so good?
Well, I mean, we just been working all that. Like I said, all spring is summer. But, you know, I guess we have an offensive line coach, Coach Mirabal, that's giving us different looks every day in practice. So, I mean, when we see things, it's like, okay, we'll pick it up, no problem. And it hasn't been giving us problems so far. But we just got to continue to keep getting these looks that coach has been giving us really since spring and summer. And now during the games, it hasn't been affecting us as much. But I think that goes to show, you know, we've been preparing, how much we prepare for these games.
You know, you mentioned the summer, and Don Bailey's mentioned this often as well. you went against your defense, ones on ones, a lot. And that's a very aggressive defensive line. How much did that prepare you during the summer going against those guys every single day at a high level?
I mean, that's what making us so good. I guess that's another reason why we're so good at pass rush. We go against one of the best, you know, in the world, but in the country. So I would say just going against guys like, for me, you know, Akeem Ezzedor, even Reuben Bain as a, coming in as a freshman. And, you know, iron sharpens iron at this point. And, you know, thank God we have the depth on the D-line to even get these amount of different looks and talent. So I would say, yeah, the one-on-one since spring has been, you know, great to go up against. So when we do go up against, you know, good guys during the season, I mean, we've been prepared already going against our guys.
Now, Jalen Rivers is our guest on the show. I think I told you this before. I met your mom and dad last year. They're really, and they're so proud of you. And they're your biggest support. Well, maybe we're your biggest supporters. Ah, they're probably your biggest supporters, right?
Yes. They are. They always been. My mom has been my number one. And my stepdad has been there along the way. And my dad as well. But, yeah, so I couldn't ask for any even better support system.
Yeah, it's fun to talk with them. Hey, what has Matt Lee meant to your offensive line? He kind of anchors things for you at the center position. We had to take a little bit of a deep breath the other day when he went down, but what has he meant to you, to your offensive line?
I mean, he, like I hear you guys say, he's just a great communicator. Or people in the conversations, he's a great communicator. So, you know, he makes sure we're all on the same page, and he's just very nasty with his play, as we can all see. So, and that gets us going. And when you have guys like, you know, Coop and CeCe and Javion and Matt just all finishing, it gets you like, okay, we all on the same page. Okay, let's play even more nastier. Like, I see you finishing, and we all got to finish. We all competing. So that's making all of us better. But Matt, he's been a great anchor, great, amazing player and teammate as well. I couldn't ask for a better center.
I mean, you're right. You're a little bit young on the right side with Inez and Maui Noah. A little bit young, but those two guys, those two dudes are, they're playing with some brute force. Like, no, they do not. Yeah. How about Inez? I mean, Inez moves pretty good for 350. Did you know that he was a pitcher, a baseball pitcher?
Yes. Oh, my God. But he's lost, I think, 30 pounds since he's 40. Since he's been here, he came in at like 380 or something, and he's really, you know, he could always move even at 380, which is so surprising. But even now, when he's down at like 350, 340 or something, it's amazing to see somebody with that much weight, you know, and his size move. But he's another player that just plays with just, you know, constant effort. You're seeing him everywhere on the field, you know, finishing guys, you know, and it's just amazing to see. And he's going to be a great player. And he's going to be definitely, all of us going to be playing on Sundays. So I would definitely say they're young. It's his second year starting, but he's getting better every day. Same with CeCe. And, you know, the sky's the limit for all of us, especially them.
Tyler Van Dyke completing about 70% of his passes in every game, 11 touchdowns, one interception. I thought he had a really good training camp. What can you say about the way your quarterback is playing right now?
I mean, he's playing like that because we're giving him all that time in the world. But, I mean, I expect nothing else when he's given all that time. Even when he's not, he always, you know, he has pocket awareness as well. So you got to give him credit as that. And then, as you can see, you know, he's surprising all of us by moving out of pocket and pulling the ball and running. He had like a 30 yard run in that Temple game. Yeah, so, I mean, it's amazing to see him grow as a you know, quarterback. And, you know, I'm happy, like I said, to have him as our quarterback. And I could ask for a better quarterback. But he's playing great, phenomenal. You know, I think he's like the number one quarterback right now in college football, or top three, definitely. But number one in my eyes. But, you know.
Do you think the win against Texas A&M, the way your team – responded to the adversity in that game, it's been a couple of weeks now, but do you think that could be a turning point for this program?
I mean, it definitely, I feel like it definitely was. It gave us, you know, the confidence. I mean, we always had the confidence going in, but, you know, that just boosted, and seeing all the love from the fans as well, you know, and I mean, we really believe that, like, every game we're going to go in and dominate. In this game, we come in out, I think, like, final score, like, 48-33. You know, that's just giving us that boost of confidence. And we played well, too. Of course, we had some errors as overall. But, and we know, like, if we fix some errors, nobody can mess with us. So, you know, I feel like we're attacking every practice now to be our best. So later on throughout the season, we fix some errors. I mean, we'll be in the national championship looking, you know, to win our national championship. But I'm not going to think that far, but we got to worry about, you know, the next day. But I feel like if we reach our full potential, you know, nobody can mess with us.
Yeah, we got a big October. All right, we got a big October coming up. I think I talked to you about this in the summer. How's school going?
School's going well. As I was telling, you know, I think DBJ, I was telling him that I just graduated,
right,
with my undergrad, sport administration, this past summer, in May, and then now I just last month I started my grad program in sport administration. So. Yeah. Online, so I've been, you know, dealing with that. You know, it's been good so far. I like it.
Yeah. I wanted our audience to know that you graduated. You're working on your graduate degree, and you know, a couple years ago, when the stat when the New England Patriots were winning all those Super Bowls, their team had the most college graduates. So I always think that's important. Because your goals are the next level, and everybody knows that. I just told you to make sure you're a great Miami Hurricane, which you are.
Yes. And everybody's focused on like NFL, blah, blah, but like you know, everybody's looking too far and looking at, you know, the big picture is like what you're doing right now. So I definitely get being a Miami Hurricane first before even thinking about being in the NFL. Or, you know, what you want to do after football.
Well, so you got that degree. That's a big step. That's great. Yeah. You've been a great guest. Thank you for being on the show. And I'll see you on the practice field next week.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. That's Jalen Rivers joining us on the show. And he is anchoring that offensive line, the left side, 6'5", 325 pounds from Oak Leaf High School. As nice a kid as you are going to meet, great representative of the University of Miami. And when you go to a game, that's a guy that you want to root for right there. Number 64, Jalen Rivers. Very impressive. All right, so thanks to DBJ, Josh Darrow, Brian Monroe, Alex Dono, Jalen Rivers, our producer, Danny Garcia. We have Hurricane Rewind later in the week. No game this weekend. Back in action next Saturday, October 7th against Georgia Tech. 8 o'clock kickoff, 4 o'clock pregame. Hurricane Hotline returns with the Mario Cristobal Show next Tuesday, October the 3rd. Thank you for joining us tonight, and have a very pleasant good evening.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow, it it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's Van Dyke on the ground. Parrish over the right side. He's at the 10, then the 5, then the end zone. Touchdown, Miami. Henry Parrish over the right side for a 13-yard touchdown as he sashays into the end zone. 23-0 Miami.
Henry Parrish had as wide a lane as you could get to run through. That offensive front picked up the stunt, had a hat on a hat, and put your Hurricane running back into the end zone.
All right, the big guy, the big offensive line leading the way for Henry Parrish. And joining us right now is left tackle, the jovial Jalen Rivers is with us. Jalen, good evening. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. How about that running game the other day, 323 yards worth of rushing yardage, including a couple touchdowns. Tell us the key behind running the football the way you were able to run it the other day against Temple.
Just like you were saying, we always want guys hat on a hat. The biggest thing we want to do going into this game is just playing 5-on-5 football and just making sure we just keep mauling people. We play with just a style of play. Coach Mirabal, he always preaches about style of play, communication, and just urgency. And if we play that, we'll have a running game outcome like we did these past couple weeks, actually, these first 4 weeks.
Why has your offensive line played so well so quickly?
I mean, we made it our business when everybody started coming in, like during the spring and summer. We made it our business, and the coaches, you know, kept, you know, putting it out there. But we brought it amongst ourselves as players to really gel as an offensive line and as an offense and as a whole team in general. So this whole really off season, we've been really working towards that. So it's no surprise that we've been playing like this and gelling as you see out. I mean, watching the film, we've been, you know, performing, you know, all together, and we've been all in sync. So I think that just goes to show what we've been doing off season, all together, and just creating that bond.
Yeah, speaking of that bond, I think your offensive line is kind of a microcosm of the team. There is a unity that I think has come together quicker than maybe I anticipated. Why do you think your team has been unified? And you know, people can say, oh, okay, great, you know, if you get along off the field and all that. But when I mean unified, I mean being able to play complementary football and be in it on every play for each other, offense, defense, special teams.
I mean, we just simply just didn't want to repeat of last year. When we have the right guys in our program and we all come together, we've had player-led meetings, and we really communicate to one another and express how we don't want to repeat it last year and how this year is going to be different. And when we spoke about this in the spring and summer, you know, I mean, it's all coming to fruition right now. And we just got to keep going, and the sky's the limit right now. But I just think it goes to show we've been working on and working towards still. You know, it's always going to be better. And we can always play even more better complementary football. But I just think that's the biggest key, where we didn't want to lose. We didn't want to, you know, have another bad year.
Yeah. What is it meant to have – Right, yeah, no. What is it meant to have Javion Cohen next to you? He's like you. He's a big guy. He's gregarious, and he's got a bit of an attitude, a good one.
Oh, yes. And, you know, that's a lot of the guys on our O-line right now. But having him next to me, I mean, it's awesome. And then having a guy that with that much talent that's coming from a great program, actually, and, you know, he's a great guy, too, and a great, you know, person. And teammate, I couldn't ask for anybody, you know, better to play next to. So it's just great to have him on the team, play next to him, and get to see him every day. And, you know, we have a good bond as well.
I spoke to him the other day. He said, one, I want to bring the U back, and two, I want to make sure that Tyler Van Dyke is always upright. Very few sacks for Tyler. Why has your pass protection been so good?
Well, I mean, we just been working all that. Like I said, all spring is summer. But, you know, I guess we have an offensive line coach, Coach Mirabal, that's giving us different looks every day in practice. So, I mean, when we see things, it's like, okay, we'll pick it up, no problem. And it hasn't been giving us problems so far. But we just got to continue to keep getting these looks that coach has been giving us
really since spring and summer. And now during the games, it hasn't been affecting us as much. But I think that goes to show, you know, we've been preparing, how much we prepare for these games.
You know, you mentioned the summer, and Don Bailey's mentioned this often as well. You went against your defense, ones-on-ones, mm-hmm. a lot. And that's a very aggressive defensive line. How much did that prepare you during the summer, going against those guys every single day at a high level?
I mean, that's what's making us so good. I guess that's another reason why we're so good at pass rush. We go against one of the best, you know, in the world, but in the country. So I would say, just going against guys like, for me, you know, Akeem Ezzedore, even Ruben Bain as a, coming in as a freshman. Yeah, and, you know, iron sharpens iron at this point. And, you know, thank God we have the depth on the D-line to even get these amount of different looks and talent. So I would say, yeah, the one-on-one since spring has been, you know, great to go up against. So when we do go up against, you know, good guys during the season, I mean, we've been prepared already. Going against our guys.
Now, Jalen Rivers is our guest on the show. I think I told you this before. I met your mom and dad last year. They're really, and they're so proud of you. And they're your biggest support. Well, maybe we're your biggest supporters. Ah, they're probably your biggest supporters, right?
Yes. They are. They always been. My mom has been my number one. And my stepdad has been there along the way. And my dad as well. But, yeah, so I couldn't ask for any even better support system.
Yeah, it's fun to talk with them. Hey, what has Matt Lee meant to your offensive line? He kind of anchors things for you at the center position. Mm-hmm. We had to take a little bit of a deep breath the other day when he went down, but what has he meant to you, to your offensive line?
I mean, he, like I hear you guys say, he's just a great communicator. Or people in the conversations, he's a great communicator. So, you know, he makes sure we're all on the same page, and he's just very nasty with his play, as we can all see. So, and that gets us going. And when you have guys like, you know, Coop and CC and Javion and Matt just all finishing, it gets you like, okay, we all on the same page. Okay, let's play even more nastier. Like, I see you finishing, and we all got to finish. We all competing. So that's making all of us better. But Matt, he's been a great anchor, great, amazing player and teammate as well. I couldn't ask for a better center.
I mean, you're right. You're a little bit young on the right side with Inez and Maui Noah. A little bit young, mm-hmm. but those two guys, those two dudes are, they're playing with some brute force. Like, no, they do not. Yeah.
Yes.
How about Inez? I mean, Inez moves pretty good for 350. Mm-hmm. Did you know that he was a pitcher, a baseball pitcher?
Yes. Oh, my God. But he's lost, I think, 30 pounds since he's been 40. Since he's been here, he came in at like 380 or something, and he's really, you know, he could always move even at 380, which is so surprising. But even now, when he's down at like 350, 340 or something, it's amazing to see somebody with that much weight, you know, and his size move. But he's another player that just plays with just, you know, constant effort. You're seeing him everywhere on the field, you know, finishing guys, you know, and it's just amazing to see. And he's gonna be a great player. And he's going to be definitely – all of us going to be playing on Sundays. Mm-hmm. So I would definitely say they're young. This is second year starting, but he's getting better every day, same with CeCe. And, you know, the sky's the limit for all of us,
right?
Especially them.
Tyler Van Dyke completing about 70% of his passes in every game, 11 touchdowns, one interception. I thought he had a really good training camp. What can you say about the way your quarterback is playing right now?
I mean, he's playing like that because we're giving him all that time in the world. But, I mean, I expect nothing else when he's given all that time. Even when he's not, he always, you know, he has pocket awareness as well. So you got to give him credit as that. And then, as you can see, you know, he's surprising all of us by moving out of the pocket and pulling the ball and running. He had like a 30-yard run in that Temple game. Yeah, so – I mean, it's amazing to see him grow as a you know, quarterback, and you know, I'm happy, like I said, to have him as our quarterback, and I could ask for a better quarterback. But he's playing great, phenomenal. You know, I think he's like the number one quarterback right now in college football, or top three definitely,
mm-hmm.
but number one in my eyes. But
right,
you know,
do you think the win against Texas A&M, the way your team responded to the adversity in that game. It's been a couple of weeks now, but do you think that could be a turning point for this program?
I mean, I feel like it definitely was. It gave us, you know, the confidence. I mean, we always had the confidence going in, but, you know, that just boosted. And seeing all the love from the fans as well, you know, and I mean, we really believe that, like, every game we're going to go in and dominate. In this game, we come in out, I think, like, finals were like 48-33, you know. Yeah. That's just giving us that boost of confidence. And we played well, too. Of course, we had some errors as overall, but – and we know, like – if we fix some errors, nobody can mess with us. So, you know, I feel like we're attacking every practice now to be our best. So later on throughout the season, we fix some errors. I mean, we'll be in the national championship looking, you know, to win our national championship. But I'm not going to think that far, but we got to worry about, you know, the next day. But yeah. I feel like if we reach our full potential, you know, nobody can mess with us.
Yeah, we got a big October. All right, we got a big October coming up. I think I talked to you about this in the summer. How's school going?
School's going well. As I was telling, you know, I think DBJ, I was telling him that I just graduated,
right,
with my undergrad, sport administration, this past summer. In May, and then now last month I started my grad program in sport administration. So yeah. Online. So I've been, you know, dealing with that. You know, it's been good so far. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted our audience to know that you graduated, you're working on your graduate degree, and you know, a couple years ago when the stat when the New England Patriots were winning all those Super Bowls, their team had the most college graduates. So I always think that's important because your goals are the next level, and everybody knows that. I just told you to make sure you're a great Miami Hurricane, which you are.
Yes. And, everybody's focused on like NFL, blah, blah, but, like, you know, everybody's looking too far and looking at, you know, the big picture is, like, what you're doing right now.
That's right.
So I definitely get being a Miami Hurricane first before even thinking about being in the NFL or, you know, what you want to do after football.
Well, so you got that degree. That's a big step. That's great. Yeah. You've been a great guest. Thank you for being on the show. And I'll see you on the practice field next week.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, that's Jalen Rivers joining us on the show, and he is anchoring that offensive line, the left side, 6'5", 325 pounds, from Oak Leaf High School. As nice a kid as you are going to meet, great representative of the University of Miami. And when you go to a game, that's a guy that you want to root for right there, number 64, Jalen Rivers. Very impressive. All right, so thanks to DBJ, Josh Darrow, Brian Monroe, Alex Dono, Jalen Rivers, our producer, Danny Garcia. We have Hurricane Rewind later in the week. No game this weekend. Back in action next Saturday, October 7th against Georgia Tech. 8 o'clock kickoff, 4 o'clock pregame. Hurricane Hotline returns with the Mario Cristobal Show next Tuesday, October the 3rd. Thank you for joining us tonight, and have a very pleasant good evening.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow, it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.